I've got a quick question for you, alright. I wanna hear your thoughts, I wanna know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, alright. The answer's not important, I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite?
How did you get?
If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here. I think you'll have a great time here.
So hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of that podcast, a professional writer, an adult man who is just this second remembering his New Year's resolution was to sing more, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say something, I'm giving up on you.
Hey, what's up, friends? Or as you love being called, the Hold Me Closer Tiny Answers. It's Soren Bowie from American Dad, from public school PTA, and also very likely from the Arby's drive-thru. What did you end up getting, by the way? I hope you got curly fries, because there's like way more fry packed into every square inch of that container than with just straight up fries. It's like a, just makes financial sense. You can stretch them out like intestines. It's wonderful.
Do you remember an episode or two ago when I was defiantly talking about how I couldn't remember the last time I had fast food?
Yes, I do.
I had it a few days ago.
I know. Well, you said you were going to break. I was not. There, I would be more shocked had you come on and been like, well, I didn't eat it. I'd be like, oh, Daniel.
It's so wild to feel like I'm not in control.
Yeah.
And I really felt that way. It was just a few days ago. I went to see my niece. I don't know if I have permission to say her name, so I won't. My niece, she's a very talented singer, and she had this showcase with her musical theater group where they all were going to do songs. She sang a song from 13. She crushed it. She was great. I went to go see her sing and support and see my brother and sister-in-law and my other nieces and nephews. And afterwards, they invited me back to their house for tacos. And I said, no, I can't. I don't know why I said that. I could have. I didn't have any plans at all.
Because you needed to reward yourself.
I guess. And like my body drove me to McDonald's. There was no... It seemed like the decision was made for me without my consent at all. And as I'm like driving home, I'm doing my Spanish lessons in my car, driving home. It's still an early night, plenty of time for me to cook something if I wanted to and really like make a whole adventure of it. And I'm driving past the McDonald's and there's a huge line at the drive-thru of this McDonald's. And I'm like, God, so many people. And like my hands are like, no, yeah, I hear you, but we're turning, like, look what we're doing. We're going to be one of those people. I was like, nah, I would never wait this long for McDonald's. And then there I was waiting. And then I got it. And then I went home and I ate it.
Yeah.
And I was happy.
Yeah, that's what I was waiting for. Thanks to BetterHelp for supporting Quick Question. For 10% off your first month, go to betterhelp.com/QQ. Start living a better life today.
Thank you to Hawthorne for supporting Quick Question. Hawthorne is a premium grooming brand that tailors your personal care routine to your unique profile with skincare and hair care made just for you. Take Hawthorne's quiz today and get started on your personalized self-care routine at hawthorne.co and use promo code QQ to get 10% off your first purchase.
Thanks to Shopify for supporting Quick Question. Shopify is a platform designed for anyone to sell anywhere, giving entrepreneurs like myself the resources once reserved for big businesses. For a free 14-day trial and a full access to Shopify's entire suite of features, go to shopify.com/QQ.
Thanks to Truebill for supporting our podcast. From forgotten free trials to automatic renewals, when big companies keep charging you, Truebill is your secret weapon to save you money on subscriptions you don't need. Go right now to truebill.com/QQ. It could save you thousands a year.
When you roll down the window, when you're like, okay, I'm at the big screen now, mm-hmm. and you roll down the window and you just like, smell McDonald's.
Yeah.
Are you like, this was the right decision?
it's really like, it's like getting back with an ex that you know is bad, where Hey, how can I help you? Yeah, 2 cheeseburgers, add bacon and a large fries. And my body's like, this feels right, doesn't it? Don't you remember this? Come on, isn't this easy?
I've, out of like necessity, I've gone to fast food before. And you know, I'm at a point in my life where I no longer do this, where if I will convince myself it's out of necessity, where like there's like a, I'm like, oh, I can't, I got just a short lunch break. I got to go get something fast. I got to, you know, a drive through will be great. Quarantine has been great for that too. I've been like, well, I can't go in anywhere. Drive through. I got to go through drive through. But every time that I'm like out of real necessity, I have to go to fast food and I'm trying to eat healthier. And I'll be like, okay, well, I know that Wendy's has got salads. I know that like I'll just get a salad. But like the minute you roll down that window and you smell the fries and everything, you're like, fuck that. Yeah. Why would I, why I'm here?
Yeah.
Just get what you want to eat.
I would sit there looking at those like fucking shakeable McDonald's salads on the thing and be like, well, I read somewhere that actually the salads are just as bad for you as the fries. And my stomach is like, yeah, I read that too. Do get the burgers, you idiot. Yeah, say whatever you need to say to sleep at night.
I will. The mental gymnastics I will do to convince myself that this is the only choice is phenomenal.
I read the salad kills dolphins. Who just whatever it takes, man.
I already know. I'm going to somebody's birthday tonight for the first time in a long time, and it's at a bar.
Wow.
I know. And I'm afterwards, I already know on my way home, I'm like already like, okay, well, let's see. It's over in this part of a town. And I know in between there, there are 2 Jack in the Boxes, a Popeyes. There's 1 Wendy's. That's a little bit out of the way. Like I know which fast foods there are. Yeah. And I know I have like the opportunity to stop at any one of those. And the entire time at the party, I will be thinking that too. I'll be like, on the way home, maybe I'd get a milkshake too.
Yeah, you don't really have a chance tonight.
Yeah, I know. I've succumbed. I know my weaknesses. I know that, and I've prepared for that. Like I knew this was coming. I know that I have like days planned where I'm like, it's going to be an okay day to do this because I've started to regiment my life a lot more.
Yeah.
I've started to like pick out, determine how to ensure that I don't get to lunchtime. I know that I have half an hour and have no plan. As long as you don't get to that point, then you're fine.
I think I would feel better if I had penciled in my calendar McDonald's on a Monday night every once in a while. But I didn't. I just appeared there. I waited in a long line. It was one of those McDonald's where there's so much overflow that there's 2 drive-through lines. And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna be one of these people. I'm gonna eat dinner 20 minutes later than I planned because I'm waiting for McDonald's.
Yeah.
And there's nothing anyone can do about it, especially not me.
There are moments where you're driving and you end up at the place you were going and you're like, oh, God, I didn't even think about driving the whole way here. I just sort of arrived. And I've done that before with fast food where I didn't plan on it. And then I will show up. I will just like show up at a fast food line and be like, I was going to go to Whole Foods.
Yeah.
What happened? And well, I'm trapped, obviously, now.
And then the person at the window is like, we've been expecting you. I'm like, how?
Yeah.
And you look up and there's one of those like staff pictures like The Shining and you're there in the middle and you've always
been right there. You've been the caretaker. I love it. It's why I made that. I told you I made like a whole playlist about it to try and keep me from it. None of that shit works. It's clearly an addiction, you know, and I don't want to belittle anyone who has real addictions.
No.
I don't know what else to call it. It's not in my hands.
Yeah, it's not in my hands and like the scary thing is as I'm eating it, I'm like, I'm going to feel like shit tomorrow. And then when I didn't, I was like, oh no, I'm like, like I'm one of those high functioning McDonald's people. Uh-oh.
That's why
I was supposed to learn a lesson from this. And I didn't.
Why it's been such trouble. I've had experiences at fast food where I've been like, oh, I feel awful. And I don't go fucking back there. I haven't been to like what's that Wiener Schnitzel in like 11 years. Cause I walked out of that place once and was like, oh, I don't feel so great. But the problem is that I eat McDonald's and afterwards I'm like, I feel fucking great. That was the best choice. I feel good. And then like wake up the next morning. I'm like, yeah, that was great. I remember that moment. That was really fun and nice. And I don't ever feel the consequences. And so it's never going to work out that I'll just stop going.
It sounds like the language that addicts use to justify being on something and like, well, I made it through a whole work day and no one noticed. Like I woke up after going to McDonald's and like, I ran 6 miles in the morning. I don't usually do that. Maybe I could just do this. Maybe I could just maintain this lifestyle forever.
Here's the worst part. There are people in my life who I will eat the same thing as them. Not in fast food, just like in everyday life. Mm-hmm. And they will get food poisoning. And I don't. And I think that fast food is the reason. My stomach is calloused. It's calloused to like any sort of anything that could hurt it because it's had to deal with this. It's been battle tested every single day.
You're that drunk who fell off the Titanic and then swam home.
Yeah. And it's like, I mean, I know people who have cleaned up their diets and stuff. And then as soon as they have something that's not good for them, they're like, oh, I feel awful. And I'm like, oh, that sucks for you. Yeah. I will never have to deal with that.
Maybe you should have been training better.
Yeah, so I've got nothing but rewards from it, or at least that's all I've chosen to focus on, and I will never stop.
Yeah. I got a quick question for you.
Yeah, shoot.
It's not really a question. It's certainly not quick. Have you ever? What's a good way into this? Have you ever?
This is a question.
In pursuit of a bit, done something that you had to live with in, like, your real life for any amount of time.
Yeah. I mean, I've lied in bits all the time and then been like, all right, well, now I have to live with the consequences of this lie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'll try to think of, like, an actual example of that. But I'm confident that it's happened in my life where I'm like, oh, this will be funny. It doesn't go over. And I'm like, okay, I just got to mentally remember that this is something that I do, that is part of my life.
Okay. I think so. I bring it up for two reasons. It reminded me of something that our dear friend Michael Swaim did years ago where he thought it would be very funny to, in the middle of the night, shave his eyebrows off. So in the morning when his partner woke up, she'd be like, ah! And he was successful at that. She was unhappy and surprised. And then he was just a guy who didn't have eyebrows for a while. And just like had to live with that as his decision. I don't know if you remember that.
I don't.
Where Michael didn't have eyebrows. Oh, you didn't?
No. Oh. No, I don't remember that.
Oh.
That sounds like Michael, though.
Yeah. It definitely happened. And I'm thinking of that specifically, not that dramatic, but I was shaving last night, my face, and it just so happened that the last thing I was shaving was my mustache. Like, that was left till last. And I caught myself in the mirror with just a mustache at, like, this hair level in my life and this age in my life, and I just saw the mustache, and I just started laughing. I was like, that's kind of interesting. I don't think it looks good at all, and it's not, like, over-the-top funny. The best word I could come up with for it was interesting.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that I'm about to travel and visit most of my family for an extended period of time. And I really just thought, like, that'd be kind of funny if I showed up with a mustache, I guess. And so now I have a mustache.
Yes.
And, like, I won't even see them for 2 days. So I've just been, like, wandering around my life with a mustache. This thing that was funny to me last night, or I get, like, quirky to me last night. Even if I still even like baked in some room for myself, where I was like, maybe it'll be funny for you in the morning to wake up and see a mustache and remember, oh yeah, last night I kept my mustache, and then you can get rid of it if you want. I don't think I'm going to. And now I've just been like wandering about my day, and it's a very strange thing. I'm gonna get rid of it once my family sees it. I don't want to be a guy who has a mustache. But, like, at my coffee shop, the barista, because I'm there every day, and the barista was just like, oh, I like your mustache. And reflexively, I was like, oh, no, I'm just kidding.
Are you willing to turn on your camera for a second so I can see it?
Yeah, let me do all the things that I need to do. Show cam. Yeah, it's not. Oh, I don't have my glasses.
Yeah.
Can you see me?
I do, of course. Yeah, it's great.
It's like a little mustache. It's not like...
Wait, are you saving something? On the bottom lip, do you have a little something?
This
or is that
here?
Shadow?
Soul patch? That's shadow, yeah. No.
Okay.
It's just mustache. And I'm going to like...
That's great.
You could already see some stubble has come in. I'm going to get rid of that stuff too.
Good. Yeah, clean it up. Clean it up.
Just so there's no doubt.
This is an intentional mustache.
And I think, like, it's been really sunny, so, like, I put on sunglasses before I leave my house in the morning to walk Jackson. And just, like, seeing me with sunglasses and an approaching full mustache, like, who's this? Let's get this guy some gum to chew, huh? Who's this character with sunglasses and a mustache?
You
who's
need
this
a
beach cop?
Yeah, you need like a bomber jacket.
Yeah,
to go with it. I
think the only other times in my life that I've had a mustache was when you and I were doing
November.
Yeah, where like you can lean into it being a pretty crummy mustache that you're not like super invested in because you're doing it for charity. And then otherwise my facial hair has always been like, I try to grow as much of a beard as I can. And now like mustaches is such a choice that I just have to like walk around and live with. Cause I guess I think it's going to be, I don't know. What reaction do I want? What I don't have a plan here.
Well, most of my bits, I don't have a plan with either. Yeah. I'm just like, maybe this will be interesting for the world. Maybe somebody will catch some magic from this. I've seen a lot of people recently with mustaches, and I don't think they're kidding. Like, they're younger. No. I think that there are some 20-year-olds who are growing mustaches now in a non-ironic way, and I don't get it.
I want to be absolutely clear about this, that I'm not going to be a guy with a mustache. And every time I see anyone with a mustache, I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that?
Yeah.
You don't have to do it. You don't have to do it for a bit like I do. I'm contractually forced to show up to my parents' house on Monday and be like, look.
Get it?
Look.
Hey, I know you don't want to hear from me. It's Soren again, coming to you to say, what's interfering with your happiness? We talk about it every single week. And every single week you say, I don't want to think about it right now. I got a lot going on. And I say, I can't hear you. I'm in your headphones. This isn't how a conversation works. Although it seems to be going pretty well. I want to know what's getting in the way of your achieving. I want to know what's getting in the way of you achieving your goals. BetterHelp can help assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours, so it's quick, and all without ever having to sit in some waiting room and read expired magazines. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if you need to. BetterHelp is available worldwide for clients, and that means that you might get a range of expertise for BetterHelp that you wouldn't have available to you wherever you live. BetterHelp is also more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. Now, people always say, don't put it on the internet if you don't want everyone else to see it, but that's not true with BetterHelp. Anything you share is completely confidential. BetterHelp is not only convenient and affordable, it's also professional. BetterHelp is not a crisis self-help line. It's professional counseling. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses, and you can schedule weekly or video phone sessions whenever you feel like you need it. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, yeah, but do they specialize in the areas that I need? Yes, they do. They specialize in a wide array of fields, from sleeping issues to trauma, anger and grief, self-esteem, sexual identity, gender identity, relationships, family conflicts. That's a big one. Depression, stress, anxiety, you name it, they've got somebody who can help you. So start living a happier life today. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/QQ. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. That's betterhelp.com/QQ for 10% off your first month. Thanks, BetterHelp.
Hawthorne is a premium grooming brand that tailors your personal care routine to your unique profile. We love Hawthorne. We've been talking about them for years now. Hawthorne uses data from hundreds of thousands of customers to recommend perfect product for your body chemistry, skin type, hair type, and lifestyle. Upgrade the products that help you. Your body wash, shampoo, deodorant, face cleanser, moisturizer, and cologne. Here's a scoop for the Scoop Troop. Get your pens out, Scoop Troop. I use Hawthorne for all of those. All you have to do is take a short, study-backed quiz and get matched with your perfect grooming kit. Also, hey, it's me. You get free shipping on your Hawthorne order, and if you decide you're not satisfied with your product, they'll give you free shipping on the return as well. Years ago, when we first started working with Hawthorne, I took their quiz. They asked me some questions about what was important to me in terms of the products I buy, like how they impact the environment, and also what was important to me in terms of what the products do for me. Does this one work? Does this deodorant work better for sweat, or does it work better for smell? And I want them both, baby, so I got them both. I took their quiz. It was easy. It was quick. It was not too invasive. And the results gave me a package that was perfect for me. I love my bundle of shampoo, conditioner, face wash, body wash, and their bar soap. I love their bar soap. I'm never going to stop using that soap. It's my favorite soap. I'm an adult man with a favorite soap. I feel good and I smell good thanks to Hawthorne. So make sure you're ready for anything or anyone that comes your way by taking Hawthorne's quiz today. Go to hawthorne.co, hawthorne.co, and use promo code QQ to get 10% off your first purchase. That's HAWTHORNE.co, promo code QQ. Hawthorne.co, promo code QQ.
I found that when I grow mustaches, I'm sure this is probably true of beards as well, but I obviously have never grown one of those. When I grow mustaches, the corners, I have to like cut them pretty short. Like yeah. It has to be pretty much parallel with where my lips end, because if I don't and it grows too long right there, it gets really painful. They, like somehow the blades of hair just dig into the bottom underneath it, and it gets really uncomfortable right there on the corners. I don't know how you avoid that.
I mean, just, yeah, you're doing it. Maintenance.
Just cut the ends. And then, but then you don't get any sort of like, the style of a mustache, obviously there's a lot of variance. There's a huge spectrum, but that just straight, like it looks like a brush basically, or like a comb. That type of mustache is just straight across. Really not a cool look.
No.
Good. I'm glad you're doing it.
Yeah, I'm having so much fun. I feel a little stupid walking around the world. I feel stupid in like Zoom meetings at work all day.
Yeah.
And I'm not... It would be weirder if I explained to my boss, John Oliver, don't worry about the mustache. I'm just playing.
Yeah.
That's weirder than just like pretending I'm a guy with a mustache.
God, sometimes like there's a bit where like you get the initial reaction you want, but then you have to like live with it for a little bit. And you have that decision on, do I just give it up now?
Yeah.
And like, everyone's like, oh, he's not even going to commit to it. Or do I keep it and then run the risk of everyone being like, why is he still doing that?
Yeah.
And that's like a really tenuous moment to be in. I'm sure. So they've all seen it at this point, right?
People at work or yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And no one said anything, okay. Which isn't super uncommon for work people. This might put a real strain on my family if they very reasonably don't assume it's a bit and they're like, nice mustache. We've been waiting for you to grow one or whatever. I don't know. I hope they're honest with me.
Well, you also can't trust their opinion on this kind of thing. Did your dad at any point in his life have a mustache?
No. Okay. Not in my lifetime.
Okay. But since she met him?
Yeah.
Okay. I think they're probably going to like it. I think that they like that generation, like, I'm trying to think what to equate it to. I think maybe like a bowl cut on a kid. Mm-hmm. That I'm fine with that. I think that's a cute little look on a kid. But it's so dated now that like nobody else will do that to their child generally.
Yeah.
But because it was part of my life at a crucial moment, I'm fine with that aesthetic. And I think that our parents are the same way. If we just grew mustaches, our moms would be like, oh, you look very dapper. It's like, well, yeah. Every single person in the late 70s had one of these.
Yeah. I hope my hope is that someone in my family calls me out and tells me not to do it, because I'm relying on someone to do that. Like if I can't trust my brother to be like, "Hey, you shouldn't have a mustache." Then who can I trust?
Yeah, this
like
is
what
really
if
a
I
test.
What if I really do go off the deep end at some point? No one will bring me back.
This is a good test of like who are the yes men in your life.
Yeah. Hey, Chuck Klosterman wrote years and years ago that if you're a man wearing leather pants, that's a way to find out if you have no actual friends, because a real friend would tell you, "Hey, you can't do that, man. You can't walk around like that. You're not in the band, and you're not young."
That's a really good litmus test. Oh man,
this is gonna end with like a screaming fight where I like ask him to put my nephew to bed early so I could yell, "You let me walk around all all over North Carolina. We went to the movies. We went to the clubhouse.
You let me walk around. Were you're, seen with me.
Your neighbors think your son has a mustache."
I have an intentional mustache. You have to call it that the whole time. An intentional mustache. I thought of one that I've done at work, which was that I talked about I really talked up the decimal channels. Do you know what the decimal channels are?
Nope.
When you don't have cable and you just plug into like a, now they've got like these boxes that are technically your antenna, but because the waves aren't in the air anymore, where you're like, your TV stations are coming in through rabbit ears. They come in through like digital and a digital antenna, which is just a box. And when you get your broadcast television that way, you don't just get the normal channels where like NBC's on 4 or CBS is on 2 or whatever it is. You also get 2.1, 2.2, 2.3, which are like these decimal channels in between, which are all kinds of crazy weird shit, which I don't know what their affiliation is, maybe even with CBS, but like a good example is I get like these kids channels from Canada called Cubo. There's Ion Television, which is, I think, another Canadian thing, which plays almost exclusively Law and Order and Criminal Minds. And then on top of that, you've got these other channels that are all technically on the same station that are like Cubo for kids. There's another one that where I can't remember what they play. Some other syndicated show that like that's all they do. Oh, it's Frasier. Yeah, pretty much all they played was Frasier. Then there's like Criterion ones. There's like some that where you just see old movies. Some of them all have like old talk show, episodes. Like there's all kinds of weird shit on the decimal channels. And so like I started really talking up the decimal channels because it was clear everybody else there had cable, and I was like, I was the guy who didn't, and I was trying to sell them on.
Man.
On my system. And I thought, this is a funny joke. And it was at a point in my career where no one wanted me to be joking. and so I became the decimal guy. And now I like to this day, and now I don't even watch that. I don't have that kind of television anymore because we have a big cemetery hill in our way where I don't even get that kind of broadcast television anymore.
Sure.
But I still will like, I'll still go to town on the decimal channels. And defend them wholeheartedly because there was a bit at one point and now I'm the decimal guy.
Right. You have to be sincere about this.
Forever.
There's a real chance that someone will ask your sincere advice on this at some point. Like, hey, you talked it up so much. So like, I've reserved an hour of time for you to really sell me on this.
Oh, no. I mean, that's the kind of thing would happen. It cracked a lot too, where we would, in after hours, it was like, we'd talk all about how much we loved Harry Potter or whatever. And then in real life, people are like, you're a big Harry Potter fan. I'm like, no, I don't know the first thing about Harry Potter. I'm sorry.
I ended up falling into an opposite trap at Cracked, and not even like through after hours or anything like that. It's just when I moved to California, it seemed like all of the first friends that I met there through Cracked, Abe, Michael, and Cody Johnston, were all super into space and NASA and all the stuff going on up and out there. And I just wasn't. It was like one of those things that that wasn't exciting to me. And I like slowly dilapidated into the anti-space guy.
Cha-ching! Oh, that sound makes me smile. Mostly because it's antiquated at this point. There aren't really a lot of cash registers that make that noise anymore. It's the sound of another sale on Shopify if you're willing to enter into the world of imagination with me. Or it could be the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify is more than a store. You can connect with your customers, drive sales, and manage your day-to-day. Shopify instantly lets you accept all major payment methods and has thousands of integrations and third-party apps from on-demand printing to accounting to advanced chatbots and beyond. Discover inspiration. Shopify believes in liberating commerce for all because entrepreneurship has the power to drive communities forward and commerce can be a force for good. Shopify unlocks the opportunities of your business to more people every day. Every 28 seconds, an entrepreneur like you makes their first sale. Supercharge your knowledge, your sales, and your success. For a free 14-day trial, go to shopify.com/QQ, all lowercase. Shopify is a platform designed for anyone to sell anywhere, giving you the resources once reserved for big business. Customized specially for you with a great looking online store that brings your idea to life and tools to manage and drive sales. Making your idea real opens endless possibilities. I personally love how Shopify makes it easy for anyone to successfully run their own small business. Shopify powers millions of entrepreneurs from first sale to full scale. And every 28 seconds, a small business owner makes their first sale on Shopify. That could be you. Get started by building and customizing your online store with no coding or design experience necessary. Access powerful tools to help and find your customers, drive sales, and manage your day-to-day. You basically get a whole team behind you with Shopify. Plus, with 24/7 support, you're never alone. More than a store, Shopify grows with you. This is a possibility powered by Shopify. Go to shopify.com/QQ, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Start selling on Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/QQ right now.
I sign up for a lot of things in my life because I have disposable income and a short attention span, so I'm always clicking yes to things and giving away my credit card. And those subscriptions add up. Even after I forget that I stopped using them. You know, by law, most states don't have to disclose when subscriptions renew. They just do it automatically. Get a hold of your subscriptions with Truebill. You know why free trials renew without your consent? It's a business scam out to get you. Don't let greedy corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill to take control of your subscriptions. I am fired up. If you're suffering from way too many subscriptions syndrome like I am, there is a way out. You don't ever have to even talk to anyone. Let Truebill do the work for you and set you free. Average users save $720 a year. Truebill! Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or simply forgot about. On average, people save up to $720 a year with Truebill. Because companies make subscriptions hard to cancel. They want you to keep renewing them in the background. Truebill makes this all simple. Just link your accounts, and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap. And your Truebill concierge, ooh la la, is there when you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions, so you don't have to. Truebill has over 2 million users and helped save them over $100 million. Like Matthew, this guy who says, in a matter of seconds, I saved $660 for the year on my DirecTV bill. Saved $120 for the year on my SiriusXM bill. Saved $840 a year on car insurance. I love Truebill. They've saved me money. I use Truebill. You should too. Don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/QQ. Go right now. Truebill.com/QQ. It could save you thousands a year. Truebill.com/QQ. Like, I think it probably was just an outburst. Like, you had an outburst about Star Wars that you hated it. You didn't know why anyone liked it, and you didn't want to talk about it anymore.
I don't get it. You know, I don't understand it. You all drink coffee too, and I don't like that.
I think I was just at one of the many parties where people were standing around talking about space, and I was like, just stop it. Not everyone reads the same things about space as you all do, and they don't like it. We never talk about the ocean, and I think once you plant your flag somewhere, you can't walk it back. And so, when pushed, if A would just be like, "You don't like space," I'm like, "No, I don't." And in fact, if I follow my thought to its logical conclusion, I think we're spending too much money on space, and we should stop sending shit out there. And it was just like a trap that I fell into, that anytime there would be space news, I would have to be against it.
And we're actually doing a podcast shortly for some secretly incredibly fascinating where we are talking about space, and you're going to have no choice. The reason Alex has brought you on that, I think, is because he's like, oh, Dan's a total curmudgeon about space.
I'm a clear antagonist about it, when like my honest feelings or I don't really, I don't care about it, but like, but mostly in a, it's, it has nothing to do with me sort of way. Like, I, like, it's, I can see that people like space and I'm sure it's as fulfilling for them as like my love and appreciation for underwater stuff is for me. But that kind of nuanced understanding, there's no place for that in friendship or in a podcast about space.
Yeah. It's this is going to be for life for you. I did this accidentally. Well, not even entirely accidentally. I did this on an early podcast you had done, which is like defend your shitty taste, basically. And I defended The Saint, and I was like, at the time, I was like, yeah, The Saint's a great movie. It's a movie I saw a lot. It was a movie I saw at a seminal age. And since that point, like, everyone, somehow everyone in the world is like, oh, did you know The Saint's on streaming? Did you know The Saint's back on Netflix? It's back on Netflix. Did you know that? And I'm like, I don't want to watch it every single day. It's fine. Yeah. It's a fine movie. And it's a movie that I think was underrated, but please stop. Yeah. It's not my favorite movie of all time.
You have to understand, my role on the podcast was to pick a surprising thing and pretend I liked it a lot. I was fulfilling my duty as an entertainer.
Well, Dan, I have a quick question for you.
Go.
You've lived in a lot of different places, seen a lot of faces.
Yes.
What percentage of the places that you've lived, would you say that the bathroom towel rack fell off the wall?
100%.
That's great to hear. Okay, good. I've same thing for me. Where last night it happened again.
All of them, I think they're all naturally vulnerable. There's one I can completely blame myself on, and it's I think it's just embarrassing enough that it makes for good podcast fun.
Sure.
Have you ever been sitting on the toilet shitting and you have your hand on the towel rack? Not like you need it to brace yourself or anything like that. I'm just, you need to put your arms somewhere. And one of my hands was on the towel rack. And so, like, part of my body is already working. And then on top of everything, I sneezed. And just the force of so much happening, I ripped that thing off the wall. So I was like, something with sneezing and shitting and me needing to be on this toilet, something's going to give.
It was drywall.
Yeah, it's got to be that. Good.
That's incredible. Yeah, it's possible you have super strength, but only in those very specific moments. Trying to think of how you could use that. But I don't know. They just need to. The system is fucked. The system doesn't work. Every place I've lived to, the towel rack has come off the wall, and it's always like one hinge comes off on one side and pulls off. And if you think about like the anatomy of a towel rack, they're all the same. They have a plate that you screw into the drywall, and then around the plate sits the ornate like holder thing that holds on to the rest of the towel rack. They're 2 points away from each other. Almost all of them are like, you can get some that are shorter, which are usually about like anywhere from like 12 to 14 inches. And then you get the bigger ones that are 24 inches. Houses in general, the studs are 16 inches to center, which means that between the studs, it's 16 inches to the center of each one. There's no conceivable way that a towel rack will ever be in two studs. Like, just because of the math, the towel racks just don't work out that way. You can't find a stud in your wall, put the towel rack in, and then guarantee, and there's impossible for the other side to also be in a stud. So eventually what happens is that these things, even if you put like an anchor in there, these things just pull out of the wall, or they loosen in the wall, and then that little plate in the back kind of moves around. And as soon as it slides to the side, even a little bit, it unlocks the thing that it's connected to.
That makes so much sense.
And so it's like they just don't function. They don't function properly, and everybody deals with it. Everybody has
yeah. And I've certainly had them where like they broke in an apartment, and I'm not going to do a tremendous amount of repair in an apartment that I'm renting. So we'll just use like you know, wood glue or rubber cement or whatever, just like get it back into its spot so I can hang towels. And then I do like the sheepish, embarrassing thing whenever I have guests where it's like, yeah, that towel rack over there, that don't use it.
Yeah, be very gentle.
There's a towel on it, but like if we take the towel off, it falls apart. If we put another towel on, it falls apart. It's just there so I don't get embarrassed when I move out, and then it becomes someone else's problem.
It's honestly, it's so aggravating. And I'm at like a point in my life where I've lived enough places where I'm like, this is not my fault. No. Because early on, you're like, oh, fuck, I broke this. How do I keep breaking these? Like, this is some sort of cosmic curse I've developed.
Right.
But no, it's every single person deals with these because they all fall off the wall. And when they do, if it's like, if that, whatever it is, if they, you put an anchor, do you know what an anchor is? It's like a little piece of plastic that you can like pound into the drywall.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you screw it to that so that it stays in. But if you, as soon as that anchor pulls out, then you've got like a bigger hole to deal with in the wall, and you've got nowhere to put your towel rack anymore because it because of the points, they're exactly a fixed distance from each other because the thick metal rod going through them. You can either put it up at an angle so the towels just all slide down to one side and like try and rescrew in the wall, or you got to fix it somehow.
Yeah.
You got to like fix your wall somehow and then drill directly into the area where you just fixed it. And it drives me fucking insane. Yeah. I hate it.
It's so many steps of repair for a really stupid thing, but you can't leave it in disrepair because then it's ugly and disgusting.
Right. Yeah. Even if you're like, all right, well, I scrap it. Scrap where I've been pulling this. I'm going to put the towel rack in a new place. Now you got two holes to deal with.
You got those two holes. You got to spackle over that and paint over that. Ugh.
It's a nightmare. And I think that there's got to be a better solution out there. Last night I was like fixing it and I was like, well, I know enough about home repair at this point that I can just fix this. And so like I take out the anchor that's in there and I put in a new bigger anchor. And as soon as I put a screw into it, the anchor breaks and like breaks into the wall, like into the back of the wall. And I'm like, okay, all right, I'll find an even bigger anchor. It's like I get a bigger one and then I start putting a screw into it. And as soon as I get the screw all the way in, it doesn't tighten all the way. It's just one of those ones where like it's clearly threaded, but it just keeps spinning, like no matter how much you move it. And so that means that the plate that sits on the outside just sort of like hangs limply there too. So as soon as you put that base piece on, the whole thing is just, that's how it all gets fucked up in the first place, is that base piece is all fucked. And so there's just no solution and I'm furious.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that I feel like there are so many things in our everyday lives that are imperfect from a design standpoint that we only have because it's been inherited down hundreds of years, generation to generation, on the whims of some stupid rich king a long time ago, or some other like rich fancy person who was just like, I like towel racks to look like this, and I'm also the king, so that's just what they are now. This is pleasing to me. And it doesn't matter because it's the past, so I'm gonna be dead at like 35, but it looks nice while I'm alive. All right, bye. I don't have to deal with consequences. And now we all just like have this thing, like towel racks and like doorknobs are an imperfect design that we're all just stuck with, and now too many things have knobs on them that we can't turn the train at this point.
Yeah, we're all just gonna live with it this way, I think, forever. I'm trying to like think of solutions, and one would be, if you started your house from before you even put your drywall up, you'd have to know where your racks are gonna be, so you could put. The two solutions. One is this. Like, one is like you don't fix the towel rack industry. Instead, you just fix your house, in which case you put a horizontal stud in there between the studs. So you're guaranteed at that height, you'll always have some wood to drill into and you would never have this issue ever again.
Yeah.
But if you're not willing to do that, then the towel rack industry has to change the size of the racks. Like I'm looking at a measuring tape here and I'm like, okay, 26 inches. No, let's see. It would have to be, I'm sorry, I'm doing math. 32 inches. That's not a crazy long rack. You could fit two towels on that. It looks great. And that's 16 inches by 16 inch. Yeah. You'd be fine. You get in studs that way. Or a 16 inch rack is fine for a one size towel. Like we can change things. The world could be better.
No, it can't.
On a previous podcast, Dan, I talked about how I was going to try and not think about negative things and try to like things, think of things for the podcast that I enjoy.
A previous podcast of this show?
Yeah. Oh. I had said that I was getting irate about something and you had talked about meditation.
Oh, hell yeah.
Again. And I was like, I should try to be more, I should challenge negative thoughts in my life. Mm-hmm. I should acknowledge where they're coming from and why I'm feeling them. And I genuinely tried to do that over like the last week. And there are definitely moments where I found I was like, oh no, this is nice. This is making me happy. But also a lot where I'm like, no, this is just wrong. The world shouldn't be like this. This is just wrong. I saw a guy while I was eating my lunch outside one day, feeling very good, and like trying to feel good, like synthetically created as well. And this guy kept coming out of a store near where I was eating with his dog, and he would come out and he would just put his face up to the sun. He had these sunglasses on, and he would just put his face up to the sun, and then he'd stand there for a little bit, and then he'd go back inside. And he did this like 5 or 6 times, and I was like, man, that guy really, like, he's just loving the sun. He just wants to come out every once in a while and just feel it on him. And I was like, yes, that guy, he gets it. And then I look at the store and it's an optometrist and he's coming out there. He's coming out there in, I assume, transitions. Yeah. Is that what they're called? Transitions lenses?
Yeah, sure.
And he's just like seeing how they work and making sure that they work well in the sun.
That's and I was so like,
oh.
Funny.
Oh, fuck him. He doesn't know happiness. He has glasses.
I thought I had found a kindred spirit here, because that's a thing that I do all the time. I've never, like, left a store to feel the sun on my face, but mm-hmm. I will when I go outside, especially around this time of year, as it's starting to get a little bit warmer. It's just flirting with the idea of being spring. I will just, like, plant my face in the sun, and I'll usually... This is a gross sound for podcasting, but I'll usually genuinely be like pretending I'm eating up the sun a little bit because I'm just so happy to be warm and in the sun.
I don't know if I brought it up on the podcast, but I like felt I went to go get lunch the other day, but on bike, because I started doing that. I would be like driving as little as possible, and I get these lunches that I don't particularly want. And I'm just like, everything about it is just sort of grouping together to become a big annoyance, but I'm like powering through it, and I'm not thinking about how high the hill is. And at one point I was like unlocking my bike, and it was cold, and I had not brought a jacket, and then all of a sudden the breeze just stopped and the sun like was like hot on my shirt, and I was like, I just stood there for a second. I was like, this is a really nice moment. And then I was like, this is like, I'm really happy in this moment. And like sometimes the world is just so perfect. And then I started to think about how, well, what it like, one of the moments where I've been the most happy is usually some like reprieve from the general malaise of life, or like the general awfulness of life. So like, is that what real happiness is? There's just like awful, awful, awful. And then like, oh, I'm not expected to deal with this for a moment. Oh, this is where I'm happy. Like, it's just like you're getting some break, essentially.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that can't be happiness, because there's a really big break at the end, and I'm not looking forward to that one. And I was like, well, what do I do with this information? What if like a really negative person, I think, would be like, well, obviously, like that big break, that's what we're all aiming for. You just gotta just end it. You get that big reprieve at the end. That's true happiness. I don't think I want to believe that, but I do think it's nice to maybe be happier for people when they die. Like, hey, you get it. You cross the finish line. Like all those things that we just assumed were part of life, and that you just piled on with your every single day. And you're like, no, this is just the treasury. This is how we do it. You no longer have to deal with any of those things ever again. And like, that's sort of nice for them, I think. I don't know that I'm happy when I'm like asleep, but I'm certainly, when I wake up, I'm not happy. And so,
and that might be, it might truly just be like vacation goggles, and things are different goggles. Like that's what you talk about when you talk about a reprieve, where like the first time I went to Hawaii, it's like, maybe I'm just happier here on this island. It's like, yeah, maybe. Or maybe you're happy that you don't have to like go to an office every day. Maybe you're happy that someone else is going to clean your home that day.
I can remember days in Los Angeles where it hadn't rained in a very, very long time, to the point where it was getting very scary and like the drought's coming and it's this looming threat of dryness and fire. And then all of a sudden it would rain. And like that feeling of how nice it was, like, oh, sometimes the world just works. Yeah. Like this is great. And it's like a reprieve from that feeling of dread. and that's what happiness is. Or like a rainbow or like a sunset. Like when you get to see a really pretty sunset, it's a surprise. You're like, I wasn't expecting this. I'm so used to the usual shit, the usual like gray clouds in the way. What is this, what I'm being offered? And then like you it just inspires happiness in you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, where else am I getting that? Oh, nowhere? Okay, great.
Right.
It's just these reprieves from the drudgery. Perfect.
And I do think there are ways to mitigate that. Like towards the end of, like I've had bad jobs, certainly. And it wasn't until I had a good job that I realized that like, oh, you're not supposed to just be like miserable for 90% of the time.
Yeah.
And only happy for weekends. Like you can get a better balance in a direction that you could shift that ratio a bit. I don't know if you shifted 100%.
Yeah, but it is I know that feeling. And we're like, all of a sudden, this load you've been carrying and assumed you would be carrying your entire life, somebody's like, oh, you don't have to carry that. And you're like, or they just shave a few pounds off it. They're like, oh, well, this you don't need. And you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Life could be like this.
Yeah. I feel like I remember starting at last week tonight, be like, yeah, okay, and so when are all the meetings that happen every week that we hate? Like, oh, you don't have to do like budget meetings ever again. I was like, no, but part of work, listen, I've been in the business for 11 years at this point. Part of work is you do a meeting that you hate every day with people you don't respect. When do I do that part?
Those people come to you and they say, all that stuff that you were creating that you thought was good, it's not good because nobody's looking at it.
Right.
And now how are we going to make it good? And you're like, oh, okay. How are we going to make it good for less money?
Okay. Right. Terrible news. An executive at Cheetos doesn't like this video you made. You've really pissed off the guy at Cheetos. That's a normal part of jobs. When do we do that part?
Right. I found that at American Dad as well, where I was just like, even when I found out that you get a time off to work on your script, where you're not going into the office and then working on the script on your own time, where they're like, all right, well, now they're going off on script. And I was like, off on script? Well, like they don't have to come in? They're like, yeah, well, I mean, they're working on their script. And I'm like, oh, but that's all?
Yeah.
Like how excited I was.
We don't care where they are, what they do, as long as they turn in the script. Like, yeah, no, I get that, but like, but what about the morning meeting that I did for a decade?
My son thinks it's very funny when I pretend to be a businessman and like tell him about year over year growth and things like that and ROI. And luckily I still have the glossary of terms where I could just like pretend that I'm talking about a spreadsheet very easily to him.
Yeah.
And it all comes back so fast. And like where you talk about how you're doing, how we're doing on across social and how everything's going on in brand development and stuff like that, where it was just like, oh my God, I'm so good at this. And it's so awful and boring. And he eats it up. He loves how weird it is.
Yeah, he does?
Yeah.
That's fun. Just like because it seems very adult.
Yes. Yeah. Talking about like being in the black and stuff like that. He's way into it. He thinks it's very funny because he's obviously got no anchor there. He's got it doesn't bring him anxiety the same way it does every other human being on Earth because he's never had to deal with it.
Yeah.
Maybe assumes he never has to. Maybe he never has to.
Ooh. Sometimes I wonder if everything I know about, if like we're all working from the same business vocabulary that can be traced back to movies and TV shows where writers who'd never worked in an office just like wrote what they thought it was like, and then we've all just been copying it. Like we as writers have been copying it, but also we as business people have been copying it, you know?
That's
like, I've been rewatching.
That's like Plato's The Cave there.
Yeah.
Dan.
Like I just finished rewatching 6 Feet Under, and there's a whole arc in the last season where Claire is a temp in an office, and I'm watching all the stuff that happens in it, and I'm like, I don't think anyone who wrote this has ever worked in an office.
Yeah.
But I don't know if the people who wrote The Office have either. I don't know anyone who's worked in an office. But like, we all agree that there's inhumanly annoying people who work in the office and say things about Mondays. Are we all just assuming that happened because of Office Space? Did any of the was Kathy ever real, or are we all just like working from the same writer's
shadows.
Imagination of what we think, what some guy in the 70s thought an office was like, and we're all like, yeah, office sucks according to what that guy thinks it is.
It's entirely possible that that's it. I think that there's sort of like a mirror reflecting a mirror situation happening in a lot of quadrants of our life with pop culture like that. Like the people who join the military, mm-hmm. like that like brother vernacular, like calling yeah. each other brother all the time and stuff. I think a lot of that, like the Marines and stuff are cool in movies. So when you join the Marines, that's your litmus, like that's your starting point, is seeing it from movies. So then you can't help but reflect that onto the Marines when you're there. And then the culture starts to match whatever you saw in the movie. There's like, or not even in careers. Like, I think that the idea of kissing somebody on a doorstep, I don't think that existed before movies. Yeah. I think that in some movie, somebody was like, and now there's a date. And then at the end of the date, maybe there's a kiss at the end of the date. And everyone was like, that feels right. And yes. then everyone was just like, at the end of a date, you kiss. Yeah.
You're nervous for the whole first parts of it. And then there's the good part at the end. And then you go home.
You go home and you pump your fist in the air. I'm sure there's just a ton of that we don't even realize. And that's fine, I guess. I find that in my own life, because I watch so many movies, that when I have a genuine experience, or should be having a genuine experience, I'm immediately aware of how similar I'm doing it to a movie.
Yeah.
Or not any particular movie, but like the way that they react in movies, am I reacting the same way? Is that the right way to react?
Yeah. I remember when you were telling me the first time your wife gave birth, you were like, you can do it, Murphy Brown. And then you left the room because you remembered Murphy Brown didn't have her husband with her. She did that all by herself, so you had to leave.
Yeah, had to get out of there.
Yeah. You told the doctor, this is wrong, hold please.
Yeah, when my son, I gave him a cell phone specifically so that he could call me on it like Zach Morris calls his dad. And they can have that moment where he says, is this the only way I can get contact with you?
Good stuff. That feels like enough time, right?
Yeah, I think that's plenty. There's one thing that we need to certainly address, the fact that we have a new theme song.
Woo!
And we're very, very excited about it. And we want to give the band some love who made it, because it's like, it's just this a perfect piece of music that somebody made for us. And that's incredible. So we want to talk about their new album. This is a band called Mirex, and they've got an album out called Mega Bear. It came out actually last year, but it's made up of 52 short songs, and they're intended to be shuffled around to make one continuous piece of music, but the piece of music is always changing as you shuffle it. It's pretty incredible. And coming out on June 17th, they have a new EP called Plesiosaur. You can go find them find their music at megabear.co.uk. I think that's the Mega Bear album. And the other one you'll hear on June 17th, but they're great.
Yeah, they're fantastic. We love them. Thank you so much for our brand new theme song. It's got our names on it, in it, and everything.
We've loved them all along.
Yep. Oh, you can actually listen to the first single from Plesiosaur right now. It's called Jupiter Pluvius.
Oh, I'll check that out. Close enough.
Thanks again to Mirex for making our theme song. We can be found on Twitter. At twitter.com/QQ_Soren and Dan. You can find Soren at Soren_LTD. You cannot find me on Twitter. I am currently still taking a little Twitter hiatus that might be forever. You can email the show QQ with Soren and Daniel@gmail.com. We do have our new theme song, but we are excited if you have other songs that say our names in them. I guarantee you that's the quickest way to get your shit played on the air is mention one of our names. Send that to qqwithsorenanddaniel@gmail.com. Find us on Instagram at qq_with_soren_and_daniel. You can find and hire our editor, producer, engineer, GabeHarder.com, but you can't, and he's not here today anyway. We are blessed to be joined by Jacob. Jacob, can you plug anything? Jacob, following in the long, proud tradition of not wanting to be publicly associated with this show, we've come to expect from our engineers and editors. Thank you, Jacob. We will respect your privacy. We also have a Patreon. You can support us and the show, and once a month we answer exclusive questions from you, our listeners. I think that's everything. Soren, you sound like you're really typing up a storm over there.
I've already moved on to emails.
All right, bye.
Bye.
I've got a quick question for you, all right? I want to hear your thoughts, I want to know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, all right? The answer's not important, I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite?